How are you doing? We are enjoying the beautiful days of the summer. A few months ago, we were complaining about too much cold. You remember? Oh, we had so much ice, we cannot go to the church. It's impossible to drive. And now, today is considered the beginning of the summer, and it's one of the longest days in the whole year for many people. They have these weird ideas. They do celebrations today. You know, we know that God created everything, and we don't worship the sun or anything like that. But a lot of people do that. So prepare yourself for a nice and long summer here in South Carolina. Today I want to talk to you about solving problems. How do you resolve your problems when something arrives in your lives? What kind of procedures you do when you want to solve a problem? How you do it? All right, you need to acknowledge it's a problem. Once you acknowledge it's a problem, what is the next step? You need to make a study of the case, right? Trying to find, especially, I'm speaking to the men right now because we almost always think the same way. Once you find the problem and you are trying to discover how is the best way to fix it, then you start formulating solutions, right? Solution A, solution B, solution C. What if none of the solutions work? What do you do next? Well, you have to get to the conclusion that your problem is unsolvable, right? It's not. Give it to your wife, and so she can take care of your problems. Well, others will pray about it, right? But sooner or later, as a Christian member, you know, men or women, you will always get to the same point that you got a problem, you don't know how to solve it, then you go back to God, right? And start praying, God, help me, I need a solution, I need help, I don't know how to deal with this problem. Today, I want you to open your Bibles in the book of John, chapter 6. And our story is found in John 6, a well-known story. This is a miracle when Jesus fed more than 5,000 people. This miracle is found in all the four Gospels. You know, it's found in Matthew and Mark and Luke and here in John. So let's go to John chapter 6 and let's start reading in verse 1. Please open your Bibles with me and invite you to read with me if you can. Okay, let's read in verse 1. After this thing, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And when Jesus sat up on the mountain, and there he sat up with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So what is the situation here? Jesus is in a place that is isolated, according to the other Gospels. It was a desert place. It was far away from cities. And somehow people find out that he will be there, and they start following him. Why they were following him? Why they want to be near Jesus? It was more than the hearing. Yeah, it was more than the hear. Oh, what else? Oh, for the healing part. Well, that can explain why. In a place where you don't have doctors, and if you get really sick, ill, and there's nothing else for you to do, and somebody tells you it's a man that can cure you, you will do whatever you can to get close to the man, right? And that's the situation. He had a great amount of people, and when we will continue reading, we will find out that there were more than 5,000 people. It was a great amount of people. And according to the Gospels, he spent the whole day healing people there. to the point that it was getting dark, and the disciples started getting concerned. Say, Lord, it's getting late, and my Donald closed like around 5 o'clock, so send them so they can go and buy something to eat, right? In the places where they were located, it was nothing near. It's not like in our days that we had a supermarket or you had a fast food restaurant. It's nothing. And Jesus asked a question to one of the disciples. How much bread do you think that we need to give them bread? And the answer was, well, don't even when 200 what? Denarii, you can give in a little piece to so you can make sense. A denarii was the salary for one day, right? So let's say that today a person make $100 daily, right? So 200 days, Michelle, how much is that? 200 days of salary, counting $100 a day. That's like around $20,000, right? Okay, good. She's the good in math. So when $20,000 of money, that wasn't enough to buy enough bread to feed all this amount of people. Question, even if they had their money, the 200 denarii, where they can buy all this bread? It's nowhere, because nobody will make that huge amount of bread to sell. If they have like a bakery, maybe they have like a little pieces of bread in there, but it's not like to feed this amount of people. So the second question that I want to respond is this. This problem have a solution, humanly speaking, yes or no? No, this is a situation when it's not a human solution. Because they didn't have the money, because they didn't have the place who will sell their food enough to feed these people, and because their isolation make it impossible. It was in no way that he can move fast enough to go to a store and buy the food and bring it back to feed these people. So what is the solution? If we go to the rule of the majority, you got this problem and you don't have a human solution. What you should do next in this case? Well, that's a good solution, praying. But if we want to be practical, the best way to solve this problem is tell them, you know what, folks, thank you for coming today. I wish that you have a nice rest of the day. That's it for the program. We don't have meal today, so go home and go fast, right? Everybody defend for his, you know, defend yourself and find something to eat on their way home. And that wasn't Jesus' case. That wasn't Jesus' solution. What was Jesus' solution? Let's continue reading, because Jesus' solution doesn't make really a lot of logical sense. Let's pay attention to this. So after he asked Philip how much money, he said 200 denarii, don't we enough to buy a little piece of bread? Let's go to verse 6. But he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus knew the solution for this problem, right? Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad who had 5 barley of loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? You know, it's like, I need some money. $200,000. All right, pastor, let me help you. Here is a dollar. You know, like, oh, thanks. That made my day, right? That's a solution for the problem? No. The great multitude was, so interesting, because you had all these kind of people, children, women, gentlemen in there. And Jesus is now asking the disciples, feed them, give them something to eat. Now, that will make sense to you if I ask you to do something that I knew that you can do. Doesn't make sense, right? Jesus is asking to do the impossible. How the disciples can feed all this group amount of people? They don't have the bread, they don't have their money, they don't have their resources. What is Jesus' intention here? Well, this is one of the reasons I like the story, because it will teach you several lessons in the story. Number one, they assess the problem. What was the problem? Too many people, not enough food. right? Only five bread and two fish, according to the story, right? After they made the assessments, the initial assessment, Jesus then made another decision. He ordered them to sit, right? Why? Think about that. Why you will order 5,000 people to sit or more? And in small groups. He started splitting in small groups and asking them, go sit in there. Why? Have you ever talked to someone that is hungry? How people react when they are hungry? They are very polite, you know. They are very respectful, sure. They are patient. Oh, no, don't give me first. You serve the other person, you know. That's how normally people behave, right? Have you guys saw in television when, let's say, the army or the navy, they are bringing supplies to countries that they are, you know, through war or through, like, a big famine, how people react when they see the food? How they react? They get this mob mentality, you know, and nobody wants to do the line. Everybody's rushing and everybody starts fighting. So that's the reason that he is asking again, number one, sit. And number two, split it in small groups, because you can handle small groups better than a big group, right? So Jesus was probably trying to avoid a big stampede here or somebody getting hurt. He's taking the solution. Now, after they get sit, he asked for the five pieces of bread and the two fishes, and something happened. What happened there? He started praying for the food. And after he started praying for the food, he started breaking the bread and giving the fish and started distributing it among the people. When the miracle happened? When Jesus prayed or when he started breaking the bread? We don't know. What we knew is that somehow these five pieces of bread start multiplying. And the two fishes start, you know, being enough to start feeding all these people. If Jesus will make this miracle today in our society, I'm pretty sure many people will ask some questions, right? In our society today, somebody will say, hold on, Lord. Has this fish been properly taken care of during the day? You know, has been the whole day? We don't know. Salmonella? You know, who knew what kind of origin this meal is providing? We don't know the house of this little boy. Yeah. Is this fish clean or unclean? Do the bread have gluten? Because I have some, you know, issues with gluten. I cannot eat bread with gluten. A good Seventh-day Adventist will say, Lord, I don't want to be difficult, but do you have like haystacks instead of fish? You know, I don't eat fish. And not to be complicated, you know, or big friends, they will do it for me. You know, I don't eat meat. I can't. You see, our society is a little difficult and a little complicated in relationship with how we handle food, right? Imagine this. You are sitting there, you are really hungry, and somebody that you don't know that if he washes hands or not, bring you a piece of bread and a piece of fish right there to you. And you start thinking, should I eat this or not? Do this person wash his hands or not? That's the difference between our society today and that society at the time. Now you are making a good point. Hunger makes us react in a different way, right? If you are really hungry, that piece of bread looks delicious. And I don't eat meat, but a piece of fish, hey, you know, Lord, forgive me. You will do it. You know, certain circumstances can force us to do things in a different way. And one of the circumstances that can change you the most is precisely that, when we are confronted with a big problem, when we are desperate, you don't have a solution. You don't have a way to solve this issue, then you get desperate and you are relying completely on God. Then all these things that we have, you know, all these arguments, all these excuses, we start leaving it aside, right? Because we want a solution for our problem. Now, Jesus is, I like the miracle because it's very simple. He is praying and he's breaking the bread and giving it to the disciples. And the miracle lasts as long as the disciples are getting the bread and the pieces of fishes and giving to the people, right? The Bible doesn't say that the disciples start sitting there and start eating first. You know, it doesn't say that. What it says is that they start serving people. And as long as they are offering food to others, the food continue coming, right? What will happen if they will stop serving others? Think about yourself. You are one of the apostles there. And the Lord gives you the piece of bread and the piece of fish. And instead of, you know, going to give to the next person, you say, hold on, let me start eating first. You know, what will happen with the miracle right there? It will stop right there, right? Why? That's one of the reasons God cannot make miracles among us. Because we got issues with selfishness. Right? How you handle money? You can tell me, Pastor, I'm really good with money. Are you sure? I have some questions about myself handling money too. But one of the reasons that, you know, we ask God for resources, you know, God provide for us, give us more and more. In a lot of cases, when we are asking, it is for selfish reasons. You know, the fish and the bread was the simple meal ever. That's what a regular fisherman will eat at a time. Can Jesus provide something better for them? Like a nice Greek salad or something else? Yeah. Why he didn't do it? Because he wasn't trying to fulfill their desires. He was trying to do a basic necessity right there. And that's the difference between our wants and our needs, right? We want food. All right. The Lord gave you food. Oh, but I don't want this kind of food. I want this. No, this is what you asked for. This is food. So I like the miracle for that reason, because that story can be applied to us today. The Lord has blessed you. Amen. And as long as you are willing to use your blessings to help others, He will continue blessing you. Amen? But the moment that you stop blessing others and you start, you know, becoming selfish, what will happen with you? That will cut the current right there. And the whole thing will stop. So Jesus assessed the problem. The first step in the problem solution was dividing the group in small groups and amounts of people. Number two, He get whatever he have available, and the only thing that they have available it was these five breads and the two fishes. By the way, this little boy have a huge amount of faith. I'm telling you, if I was the one with the five pieces of bread and two fishes, it will be nothing when the Lord will ask for the lunch. Probably we'll eat it before that. You know, then it's not me. You know, I am one of these persons who don't wait for lunch. I start eating little by little. But somehow this little boy gave everything, right? He didn't know what would happen. He was assuming that he would eat too, right? Now, once the miracle starts and begins, the disciples that were receiving blessings, and they were being a blessing to others as long as they were continue going back to Jesus. At the beginning, we established that this problem don't have any human solution, right? So how is this problem solved? Precisely through Jesus. Jesus made the difference, right? It's because Jesus is there that they are able to do what they are doing there. Because even today, you know, we don't have that power unless we go back to whom? To Jesus. Jesus had the power to multiply the bread and to provide for everyone. And that's not what God does for us every day. That's what he continued doing, right? It was the year 1989. And it was December 30. I remember it was December 30 because it was close to New Year's. And in New Year's, nobody works over there. You know, because it's kind of like, it's not like an official holiday, but it's kind of like a holiday. People stay at home with families, they prepare meals, and we shouldn't be working. But my brother, my older brother, say, we had some corn in the mountains, and we need to go get it before Dad comes back from the capital, so the corn is here, so he can take it back and sell it. It's December 30, and we left the house like around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I remember the story because you know, one of these things that happen that you expect that it will be fast and quick and you will come back safe. Well, that's not the case. We go through the mountains, and at a time, and in that particular location of the country, they didn't have bridges. So people had to go across rivers, and the roads were like, they are not like when pavement, they were like, you know, old country roads, big holes, you had to go through rivers, you need to go slow. Finally, we arrived to this community in the mountains. My brother started talking to the person who was selling the corn, and they agreed on a price. And I was the person who was supposed to help him load the corn, the big bags of corn in the truck. So that was my job. I just go there quickly. We loaded 25 bags of corn in the truck. And after that, we decide it's time to come back, you know, to the town. We didn't know that the road that we were using, it was a brand new road. And I don't know if you knew, but when you are driving in a brand new road, because there's not enough compactation, it is possible that you get stuck because the ground is kind of like very soft. And on top of our problems, we got one of these summer showers really quick, and we got rain. And the truck was too heavy, and it was loaded. And as soon as we start moving through that road, we get stuck. So my brother's solution was, okay, Ben, get out of the truck, unload the truck, let's push the truck, get it out in a firm ground, and let's load it again. So we do that, like for three or four times. By the fourth time, I was tired. I was dead tired. You know, I can't continue doing this, unloading and lowering the truck. And eventually, we get to a point when the truck sinks completely in the ground and gets stuck in there. And my brother keeps pushing the truck. And for the ones who like about, you know, mechanics, you know, these automobiles, when you, especially the ones who you clutch, when you use the clutch too much, you can burn the clutch. You know what I'm talking about. It starts bringing a lot of smoke, and the car doesn't move at all. So our car doesn't move anymore, and my brother told me, uh-oh, we are in big trouble here. December 30, and I was planning to come back to town because I got big plans in my mind, right, to have fun the next day, and now we are here in the middle of nowhere with this truck. No way to call a mechanic because we are so far away. No way to get a solution. So my brother said, well, since you run faster than me, you need to run to the town and talk to this friend of ours and bring the other truck to get this merchandise out of here. And to give you an idea, it wasn't like a big distance, maybe like 20 miles. It's not like 20 miles. But walking, it is a long distance. So I started walking, you know, I leave my brother there. He was sitting in the truck, and meanwhile, I had to go back to town and get help. Well, the story didn't continue going well. It started raining again. When I finally get to the first river, because we had so much rain, we can get across. I can get across the river, and I had to wait the whole night there because that wasn't safe until next morning. So I got my clothes wet. And I was really, really hungry. I don't have any friends. I don't have anyone there. So I talked to some people there near the road, and they let me stay in their porch right there. You know, it was a lot of people stranded there. So we sit in there and spend the whole night there. I'm telling you, like around 10 o'clock at night time, I was dreaming with every all kind of food, you know, because I was starving. I was thinking bread, I want peanut butter. You know, when you're daydreaming, kind of like, oh, how much I want this, huh? For hours, you know, and doesn't matter how much you dream, you know, dreaming doesn't take care of your hunger, right? Next day in the morning, again, the same problem. The river is so swollen that you can't get across, waiting and waiting. Few hours later, eventually, I was able to get a ride and get through town. Well, what is the point of this story? The point of the story is that during these hours, when you start experiencing really, really hunger, then everything looks good, right? Everything, you want everything because you are in this human necessity. Did you know that a lot of people today is in hunger in our community? They need the real bread. They need real solutions. And you know who can provide the solutions? Well, Jesus can, but also who else? We can. Right? It's like Jesus is telling you, you can feed them too. right? What we need to do? We need to go back to Jesus, right? Because it's a principle here. You cannot give what you don't have. So in order to have something, we need to go back to the Lord and ask, Lord, please provide for this so I can supply this person's needs, right? Well, the story in the Bible continues saying that after everybody, you know, had finished eating, they did something interesting. They start collecting the pieces, right? What was the reason for the collection of the pieces? I know you know the answer to this one. Why they were collecting the pieces? Very good. You know, the Lord can multiply the bread and the fishes, but he didn't want anything to be waste. Number one, right? So everything had to be used to the maximum amount. We should be careful in how we use our resources. It is important for us. Use everything in a careful way, you know. Because in occasions, we put ourselves in difficult situations for wrong decisions that we make. And I'm speaking from my heart. I'm telling you this for my own mistakes, right? Let's say that you got a need and you want to buy a car. And you don't want to buy a small, modest car. You want the best brand new car that you can find, right? And you know you are extending your budget, but you want to do it anyway. Hoping that you will... Hey, hold on before you get in there. Think really well about that. Pray about that. Because in occasions, our decisions place us in the wrong situations and problems. Now, the second aspect of the collection of the pieces is what I think is interesting, at least to me. Why do you think Jesus was asking people to collect pieces of bread and fishes? Or better, what they did with these pieces of bread and fishes after they finished? You think the apostles kept them? They distributed among the people who wasn't there, right? You can take it home. And the next person that you encounter, you say, look, this is a piece of bread. And tell them the story, right? That would be something interesting. This piece of fish that you are eating, it was part of the big miracle ever. This piece of bread that you are eating, it is a very special piece of bread. So the food become like a tool to witness to others about Jesus and about what he had done a few hours ago, right? So we can use a lot of things in our disposal to witness about Jesus. Amen? Now, one of the reasons I was thinking about this problem and the solution that the Lord is presenting here is because daily we confront problems. Amen? Let me point you to a big problem that I have right now. It's right there. You see it? What is that? That's a brand new church. That it costs like around $4 million, a little bit more, a little less. Yeah, it's no big deal. If you had the $4 million, right? Which we don't have. But we believe that God can continue providing for us. That he can use us to do something amazing in this community. Amen? We don't know all the steps that God will take for this solution, but he will provide for us. I'm pretty sure of that. Let me ask you something. Is our church the most rich church in town? Are we the most powerful? In numbers, we are huge? Well, we have a big amount of savings and money, gold and silver. None of that. But what we have is an amazing God. And he will provide for us too. Amen?
We got two pieces of
fish. Right. We have little things, but in the Lord's hands, these things can multiply. Amen? So are you confronting a problem this week? Are you being praying for something and you don't see a solution? Are you being overstressed lately for something that is happening in your life? Because it's happening to me too. And you pray and you pray and you don't see the answer. Well, when that happened to you and when that happened to me, we need to be reminded that God always provides for us. We don't see the solution yet, but the Lord will provide. Amen? So please, when you go home today, keep this promise in your heart. Are you praying for your son or for your daughter or for someone in your family and you don't see a solution? Just continue. Don't despair. Are you praying for healing or for something personal in your life? Are you praying for finances or for work? Many things that we pray, right? Whatever the case is, I'm pretty sure that God will provide for us. Amen? So let's keep this faith alive and let's keep continuing in our God, that the Lord will help us.